With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, I'm magician Nelson Lugo.
Hi, I'm nerdcore rapper Schaefer the Dark Lord.
We're best friends
who hate each other's guts.
And we co-host The Epic Podcast,
a monthly show in which we discuss comic books,
video games,
television,
movies,
our debilitating emotional problems,
and Batman.
So much Batman.
That's The Epic Podcast
on the Nerdy Show Podcast Network.
Be safe, internets.
Bye. Seriously, so much Batman.
The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com. All right, so we're back.
From outer space?
Where we last left you guys, you had walked into a room, another one of the domes. You had set a sphere into a nook, and lights came on. And then you went into a room where there was a giant creature of some kind made of hard armored plates and covered in some kind of sentient plant, wrestling with something that it found in the hole in the wall. And that thing that it's wrestling with sent psychic screams through all of you. And when it saw you, Bulkhead slammed into place behind you, locking you in with it.
Oh, I forgot we were locked in, yeah.
Yeah, no, I remembered we were locked in, and I was sad.
Could be a good thing.
And also because it means that we were seen.
Yeah.
Yeah, it might try to run from us.
You think that you're locked in here with me.
So this thing is huge. It's about the size of the first half of the giant mole. It takes up 11 spaces on the board.
So the mole was bigger?
Yes, the mole was bigger. Now this thing has 6 legs, 2 arms. The closest thing it has to a head was just a disc-shaped thing with lights around the rim that popped up out of its top. And other than that, it doesn't seem to really have, like, a head or a center. Its arms are located on either side of its body, and overgrown the top of it is a kind of greenery that has tendrils coming out that lash around. They seem to have sensed you as well. And the moment the barricade slammed, you get the feeling that this thing spotted you, and a port on its chest began to glow. And the greenery started to smoke.
Shit's an Ivysaur, dude. It's got solar beam.
Well, that means we've got one turn.
You thought you had a friend.
Holy shit. That was good.
Plus one momentum to me.
Okay. Yeah, seriously.
Shush.
Don't level up God. That was
You already gave me 2 chaos points, and I used them.
Yeah.
We are reaping the benefits.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you only encountered one of those 2 chaos points.
Yeah, I know.
Really, I was really hoping that. This was the other...
This is actually the boss monster.
Yeah, this is what we were gonna meet.
This feels like plot.
This is not one of the chaos points.
So it has 6 legs, 2 arms.
Yes.
Is it centauri?
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to get a mental picture of it.
Imagine its body is not a actual cylinder, but imagine it slightly cylindrical.
All right.
And there's 6 legs that are
like a caterpillar.
Kind of like a caterpillar, but there's 2 arms on either side of it that stick out, and one of them is embedded in the wall. And it's holding on to something in its grip that looks like leathery flesh, and it's thrashing around.
Everything about this is weird and gross and fucked up.
We should help it. Let's kill that thing.
Guys, I've never seen anything like this. And I haven't even forgotten anything like this.
Have you seen anything that we've seen today before?
No, this is all pretty new.
Yeah, I think we're good.
He'd never even met Bolivo.
Weren't you swallowed by like a giant mole?
Yeah, I mean... I've seen a lot more of it than you have.
And we slaughtered some, like, possessed children. I think, this is the third weirdest thing we've seen today.
How do we know that's the bad guy and the little leathery thing is the good guy? I'm just saying.
Maybe we're the bad guy.
Time out here. Bullshit.
We don't know. We just walked in.
What do you mean you don't know? I thought you're the expert.
On
Guff architecture.
So maybe if we just start stabbing leathery thing, this thing's going to be like,
that's what I'm saying.
Oh, cool.
You with me?
Yeah. Thanks for helping. Here's a bunch of ackies. We don't know. We always rush in.
We got a good place to store them in already.
Yeah.
Then, right?
Just that'll be right useful. Here. You can mark this cavern so we don't lose it.
I'm going to go out on a limb with things glowing red and smoking. Both bad signs.
Oh, the red, yeah.
Yeah, we're about to get shot with a fucking laser.
Miss Gilleen.
You glow red and smoke like every day.
When I kill things.
Yeah, that thing too.
My sentiments exactly.
Your brothers, basically, is all I'm saying.
Miss Gilleen, do you know what that is that's growing on that?
Oh yeah, do I?
Give me a roll.
Okay, 18.
Okay, no, you don't.
Even if I got an 18?
Yes.
Plus zero?
Yeah. Surprisingly, the plus zero doesn't add as much as you think.
Wouldn't it add exactly what I think?
Depends on what you think.
Shit. I think it's zero.
What if? Then okay.
She did exactly what you think.
No, did you guys ever see like those videos of like those ants where they get like zombie ants and then something comes out of their head?
I think they.
What if it's like?
I mean,
what if it's like that?
We weren't there, but I think they fought something similar to that already.
That was the plot of The Last of Us. Or that was the cause.
Yeah, it's the fungus in Last of Us. But they fought some...
Spoilies.
Some bugs.
It's not
some,
a spoiler.
They fought some... Was it bugs with lizards?
No, it was lizards with
lizards
bugs.
Lizards with bugs on them.
Little scorpion
cool.
dudes embedded in the
But the scorpions
heads.
Aren't fungus.
That might have been the first fight we learned to work together.
Aww. It was good.
Yeah.
It was exceptionally good.
I think you learned to work together in the first fight. And then you're like, we can handle this. And then you decided that, oh, we're still going to fight the smoke dancer, even two people fell down.
No. We had to relearn to work together because we had a new healer.
That's true. Who just wants to dance with the bad guys.
who immediately set up for that combat to lose. Katie, I love you, but also fuck you.
Stop.
I mean,
she was
we
fine.
Were the ones who told her to sneak out into that.
Which
situation.
Was the right choice, frankly.
Did
she got we, seen, she should have just turned around.
Did we ask her to not make any noise, not come get us, and then try to mime her way out of the situation?
ended well.
That was 110% Vaughn.
I've got to say this.
That was the most Vaughn moment, except for when Vaughn departed.
Yeah.
When
it was extremely encouraging.
When you're taking your cues from Jerry Lewis. Things have gone awry.
Hello, lady.
I'm just saying, like, try to miming your way out of there by pretending to be a mirror. That's a dumb 50s movie idea.
That sounds fun and hokey. It sounds like she had a good time.
It was, and she did.
And she almost died, just like all my good times.
I think it's time to roll battle order.
Do we have to fight a...
Meax.
Yes! 25 for us.
27. I rolled a natty 20. Okay. It goes first. And as expected, the area that began to glow in smoke burns away. All of you guys leaned in the doorway like Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
Like heads all lined up.
Cute.
There are six of you. So I'm going to roll a d6, one of my new tiny ones.
Aww.
And according to your position in the table is who it aims at.
Aww.
Six is yourself.
Gaylene.
Aw, man. Can I dodge?
It's going to roll against your dodge.
Aw.
That's a natty 18, so 20. All you see is it burns away, and then Gaylene just starts to feel hot. None of the rest of you see anything other than that, except for Gaylene's feathers start to smoke.
I'm on fire, y'all.
This sucks.
8 damage to Gaylene.
You leave her out of this.
Well, she just got hit.
She has a little bit of smoky bones.
Kelton would like to walk 5 paces forward towards the monster. Let's call it 10.
Okay,
I'm
double
a double move.
Move.
Or should I? Or do I hit? No one else is within 10 of it, right?
No.
Yeah.
But that means the rest of us have to double move to catch up.
Yeah.
What's his reach?
2.
So Kelton moves 10.
It can hit you.
10 full spaces towards the overgrown colossus.
It can hit you. You cannot hit it.
Really?
That's how Kelton operates.
Oh, this is great.
Yeah, that's... If he wasn't here, one of us would be the one getting hit. So.
I mean, I wouldn't have gone.
Well, Gaylene already got hit, and she was nowhere near it.
That's true. That's
I would have gone home.
So next is its turn, which is, conveniently enough, a slam.
Nice.
Like with a its body arm. Slam?
Mm-hmm. And it is 2 spaces away from Kelton, which is close enough for one of its large arms to reach and try to smack him.
Bring it.
10. Oh, 11.
No.
All right.
I think Aileen's gonna pause her turn.
You don't want to even get behind him?
No.
Okay. Oh, so here's a rule about holding actions that I think we can implement that's actually pretty simple. I think you can only hold one action.
Like either a move or an action?
Mm-hmm. Or right. A swift or something like that.
I like that.
I like that a lot.
Instead of holding your whole turn. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think you can do the thing you're going to do and then hold one of your actions if you want it to take place later.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So you're going to hold all of your... You're only going to be able to act once.
And probably for the next one, I'll probably only move before the round ends.
But you could.
But then you could double move.
Move now, and then you can
I really... need more people out there.
The only two
you're
armored...
The only other armored person. Yeah.
Gaylene doesn't care. Y'all.
I fucking hate Gaylene.
Go out there first. Y'all started this mess. Gaylene wanted to go home, and y'all were just like,
we're
I'm not going to go home.
Yeah. We're never getting up that close. That's not going to happen.
Not my problem. Not Gaylene's
problem. It is your problem. That is exactly your problem.
Gaylene don't care.
Yeah, you're already getting
you're
going to
get
lasers.
Hit.
Gaylene's like, already shot.
Yeah, yeah, so why wouldn't you want to stab the thing that shot you?
She's
you're just
going to
hang back there and get shot more?
What? Gaylene's miffed. Gaylene is going to withhold her attack action.
Okay.
We should probably just have her sit somewhere else. Because when she's second, she's never going to take advantage of being second.
That's not true. She's done it several times.
How does this Overgrown Colossus feel about opportunity attacks?
You don't know yet.
Ooh.
Would your tactics be able to tell?
Do we know what its dodge is? It's like 11, right?
You don't know what its dodge is.
We haven't
or
attacked it.
Or its armor? What
we don't know.
No idea. Anything.
Nothing?
We haven't hit it yet.
Yeah.
I haven't
even tried to hit it.
The only person who could hit it on this turn is you.
Ugh.
Kelton yells back, it's got an arm, like Mr. Bizzleby.
No, it's its turn.
No, it's its turn. Ooh. And the tendrils have sensed Kelton, and they whip out to strike him. Miss.
Looking at the situation, Nesbitt is going to try to get so that he's kind of behind Kelton, moving up as much as he can, and casting Shadow of Death onto the Colossus.
Okay. The Colossus is huge, so there's no way it's not occupying most of that. Esmond.
Gaylene's right. Going to go.
Okay.
She's going to move 10 spaces.
You can't.
You can't.
It's a move.
You can't.
No. Oh, leap.
I get to move double my speed. Gaylene sees that Nesbitt has moved forward, so she's cooled off, and she's going to be 10 spaces where she's going to be hanging out next to Kelton.
Okay, and now...
I've got to do some counting.
Okay.
All right, Esmond is going to move forward to kind of get catty-cornered to Nesbitt, and he's firing a Burning Lance.
Okay. Crack die.
14.
Hit.
10 damage.
All right. Okay.
Does it look like it even did anything?
Yes. You feel like it hit one of its tougher armored plates, but it made it through, and it looks a little scorched.
Dope.
And these plates don't look like they're armored for combat. They just look like they're the material it's made of. Mm. Like maybe they're decorative.
Okay. Obed is going to shift into his aspect of speed. Silver scale, super aerodynamic looking. Now he's going to double move.
So you can move what? On your turn, you can
14.
Move.
14.
Because you're normally 12.
Six plus two. Oh, shit. Yeah.
So you get 8.
So I don't really need to.
What's 8 times 5?
40.
So, yeah. You can move 80 feet as a double move. That's crazy.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I don't even know if I need to do all that. So I have 6 already, so I can move 8 without double moving. So let me see. Okay. So Obed is going to move his 8 speed to be between Gaylene and Nesbitt, and he's going to cast Burning Ray at Gaylene to try and heal her up.
Okay.
And since I don't have to roll an attack, because I'm not actually attacking, I just have to roll the dice 6, right?
Right. Okay. Well, actually, do it in case you crit.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I did not crit. 5. So you're back to full health.
It is now its turn. Now there are multiple creatures. You see another port open as more of you enter the room, and it takes a shot at, takes 2 shots, one at Kelton, one at Nesbitt. Green is Kelton.
Damn it.
White is Nesbitt.
That's so cool.
Both miss.
Yes.
There are double 5s.
Yes.
Dope. I like that.
Yes, that was great.
I like the mini die too.
Yeah, no, every part of that was amazing.
The big D20s just make me feel so
I know
intimidated, but in a good way.
Well, and you're yeah. I mean, and
because then when it misses, it's like a big miss too.
Yeah,
these are the 34mm D20s from ChessX, and for the listeners, they're not cheap. They're like $3 a piece.
For something you're going to use all the time.
Yeah, but what's cool is DMing. I mean, I don't. I always say, like, I look behind the screen. I don't actually use the screen. I roll all the rolls in front of everybody, which I think is important if we're trying to balance a game. Uh-huh. And they make it really visible for everybody sitting at the table. Liam's pretty far from me, and he can read them easily.
And it's nice. It feels good. It feels like I'm courtside now rather than, like, you know, a little bit back.
Right. I'm not Gary Gygax hiding in another room.
Did he do that?
Yeah. He would do all the dice rolling. Like, you would say what you wanted to do, you knew what your character could do, and then he would roll everything and you wouldn't see any of it, and he would tell you the result.
I'd like to beat him up and then hang out with him.
Just for Thacko alone.
It's Kelton's turn next. However, I've neglected to take the Shadow of Death damage.
Oh, yeah.
When it just acted. So let's say, because it has multiple turns, we'll do it on its next turn.
Okay.
Well, so I've made a note.
Well, I thought it would be the turn after.
No, that happened already.
We've never made a rule about this. Yeah, we haven't discussed this about boss characters that get multiple turns, about when they should take the damage. It says at the start of its next turn.
I did have a question about that real quick.
Yes.
Out of game. Was it intentional to not use boss music against the mole?
Yes.
Oh, okay. That actually reinforced how sad I was about this current fight.
I like that you think this is a boss.
Yeah.
So, but hold on. Wouldn't it have take damage on both of its turn, or is it once per round?
Once per round.
I feel like
the language is going to have to be very specific.
I feel like if it's going to get to take three turns, I really feel
but no,
like
that's three actions, not three turns.
It doesn't look like it. So.
But I still feel like with three actions across a round, what does a Shadow of Death do? A die four?
Plus composure.
Die 4 plus composure.
Right. That doesn't penetrate armor.
It bypasses armor.
It does now.
Oh, it does. Oh, never mind. Because to me, I was like, well, if you roll a 1, that's not going to get through armor. If you roll a 2, it's not going to get through armor. Maybe if you get a 3 or 4, so maybe a 1 in 3 chance is actually going to penetrate the armor. So if it gets 3 turns, that was my thought process. But if it skips armor, we're good.
Yeah, I still think of it because, like, basically the function of a round is a span of time. So it doesn't matter how many actions the monster takes in that span of time. It's just that this is the frequency with which
so
this occurs.
The tick of your dot is still one round.
Right.
Yeah. Got it.
Because think about it. It would, if you had a monster that had 5 actions per round, the damage of something like Shadow of Death would blow away everything that
Well,
Esmond
only
has.
Because I just found out that it bypasses armor.
Oh, yeah.
Well, even still.
But even then, like... If you had something that had 0 armor, but a bag of hit points, that would still, you know, it could do 40 damage a round, every round.
And if I had 4 composure.
I guess that's true.
He doesn't have to roll against it. It's going to hit, guaranteed.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, you're right.
I'd love to overbeef my move any way we can, but like I think that this is the most reasonable.
I also think that in my head, because of how long it takes to do a round, which is not long compared to even 4th edition, this is probably 15 seconds of this fight is one round.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And based on
6
that,
seconds.
Okay, so then based
is the standard.
So then based on that, again, the idea of your skill having the tick is the for me because I play dot based characters in most games, so like that makes sense to me.
Yeah. Okay, it's Kelton's turn.
All right, Kelton is gonna look at the beast. He's gonna look over his shoulder to Esmond and ask him to take the shot.
All right,
and this is with a plus so plus 6. 11.
Miss.
Dude, I feel like you, the last 2 games, have just rolled real low.
Yeah, you do a lot of missing.
So the flavor of why it misses what would otherwise seem like a stationary target is these tendrils are whipping around, and it is struggling with the thing in the wall. So it's not actively trying to dodge anything you're doing. If you can picture
it's
this.
A chaotic
target,
right? Okay.
I think we understand that.
Oh, and I just, because I asked for clarity on this, so I don't know if anyone else needed the clarity. The tendril attack wasn't the monster. That was the moss.
It seemed to be happening independently.
Right, so.
That was definitely the impression that I got from the description.
But I was also...
This is some organic thing.
And I know this is a meta thing, but it's the closest thing that we have to paying attention to and learning from the enemy during the combat, is that I noticed that the pluses were different from the tendril and the slam and the heat attack. So I was if that's a plus int, or plus composure, and that was a plus... dexterity. Oh, then what the fuck is the tendril? Oh, well, it must be the plant, which has a different thing. So, like, I'm I know that's a... I'm not trying to do that, but...
No, do that.
It's the only chance we have.
No, I do that in every game. I try to figure out all the
That's the out-of-character, my character in-character, learning that monster. It's
right. Yeah, I would feel like every mechanical thing, like even me explaining why its dodge is low but you still miss, there should be a in-game or an in-character reason.
Right.
Yeah. The characters would understand that. Going into the fight, we don't know that it has, say, for instance, 3 armor, but if I roll a 4 and I can tell that I didn't do as much as my arm swung, the character knows that it's armored, but...
Or the difference between, like, a swing that's a lot harder to dodge versus a swing that's like, oh, that didn't even kind of look that impressive. Yeah.
Oh,
like,
I was in the wrong spot.
Exactly.
Instead of, I fucking had to move.
Yeah. You know? Right, like,
or my dagger didn't bite.
There was a rule in 4th edition that I really liked that said, because there was a lot of conditions happening all the time, like somebody being granted attack, somebody getting a -1 against them. They said that any condition that is a character is experiencing, that character knows.
Right.
Like, however it's expressed, they understand that it is a benefit or a loss, but they may not know the details, you know, of why.
So Gaylene... Yeah,
they can't quantify it, but they definitely know that, you know, this is...
So Gaylene knows... that 20 paces away, she got hit by an invisible burning thing.
Like, yeah, well, so, okay, if you're so not like, perceiving, if you are completely unaware of the thing that's attacking you, it's a sneak attack. But all of you are looking at this
but
thing.
But we could,
yeah.
But, okay, so the initial attack, but we all saw the outcome of it, right?
Yeah, when you saw that it was doing something,
right.
You just didn't know what.
So my character is like, holy shit, we're all in range.
Yes.
Like, that's what my character would have perceived from that.
Yes.
Okay, okay. So that's naturally how I play the game. I guess I just need to blend it better so that I don't feel bad about doing it.
No, please do that. And then if there's something you're like, would I know, ask.
Okay.
So at the start of its next turn, we're going to say that the Shadow of Death will tick on this part of the round for it.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
So D4 plus composure, right?
Yes.
And I'm jealous of your D4s right now because I left mine in another spot and I need to get them back.
Yeah. Yeah. Here comes 3.
3, okay.
Hey, Esmond, how did Nesbitt do that? He's not even near it.
I don't want to have this conversation.
Okay.
So what you notice now is that processes have begun within the room, separate of this creature. And a light, a blue thin band of light, traces the perimeter of the room.
I'm not liking that.
No, this is cool.
And it sits apart from the wall, almost ghostly, about 2 inches.
I know this is...
Damn it!
I know this is not what? Likely, but can I do a magic check to see if I recognize anything with the color or pattern and timing? Okay. 17.
You know that it is not magic.
Guys, I don't know what this is, but it's not magic.
And now it's going to slam at Kelton. Hits.
Boom.
That was a natty 15.
God, that dice. Just like...
Kelton takes 6 damage.
Fuck.
Okay.
So you threw a d12 and added 5 to it.
Yep. And that was a 1. For the listeners counting along.
I can't get into slam range.
Yeah, yeah.
Good news, I dropped that and it vanished.
You can never use that attack again. As if you
I've
don't have another
one.
d12 just sitting right there.
So... Slam is beefy.
Yes, that is high beef.
This thing looks very strong.
Galen's going to do...
She's in fucking range, isn't she?
Yeah.
Venom Strike.
Yeah.
His, like, little foot.
Okay, you get his little... This first... His four... His foremost...
His little toesies.
His little toesies. Yeah, so Galen's going to do
this
Venom Strike.
This little piggy...
went to die.
Noise. I rolled a 19 plus.
Oh, that hits.
Okay, I rolled a 19.
Make her do the math.
Yeah, okay,
make her do the math.
So 19 plus your dexterity total, which is that 20, 5?
24?
Yeah. How does she have 5 dexterity?
She got an extra dexterity.
Holy realigning shit. Her shit. Yes. Yeah.
All right. So you said 24?
24.
God damn. Good.
Y'all, well,
look at that. I was like, is that
Gina?
Right?
Yeah. Y'all welcome.
That's a thing.
7.
7 damage?
7 damage.
Okay.
That is correct.
So. And you apply venom.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah. So now it's sick.
To his little foot.
His little foot.
You get the impression that it is immune to venom.
Spooky.
Okay, so that's cool, but
I get the impression
in a normal
that
dot sequence, would it not do damage on its next turn? Or would it have to go a full lap around?
It would still happen before her turn again, so right. I think it wouldn't matter.
Killing it as fast as possible matters. Yeah. So if it went here and took the damage from Venom Strike but didn't take it again until its next time around to here, that's what I'm trying to figure out.
Ideally, it would be the top of the round that it would take damage. But it doesn't... I mean, in this case, both Gaylene and Nesbitt go after the top of the round.
Okay.
But it won't
I guess as the healer, I'm okay with things dying at this point in the round.
Right.
So that's why I'm looking at it from a different angle.
The language used is once per round, all creatures that begin their turn. So, like, it would make sense that it's at the time that they begin their turn.
So right. It would be right after you did it, which would be the top of the round. So let's move it to the top of the round. I could do that. Yeah, because it won't matter... It's already done. So.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Venom Strike does 2 weapon damage, so I forgot to roll my other d12, so I'm going to do that.
All right. Do it.
1.
Okay.
Plus.
No. Added on to the 7, so it would have been an 8.
All right. So the tendrils are flapping around. They can't see. So we'll say odds, they attack Kelton. Evens, they attack Gaylene. And I'll roll my cute tiny d6s.
Tiny d6.
So Kelton. Miss.
Chunk. Nesbitt is going to double move forward to the left of the monster, trying to get approximately opposite Kelton and Gaylene.
Okay, so you're going to try to flank it and get the upper hand?
Yep.
I don't think you'll have too much trouble doing that. The thing is, it has reach, so if you try to double move to be adjacent to it, it can swap you, but you can get just into its threatened range without provoking and then disengage closer to it on your turn.
Right, that's a good call.
So... on a monster this big, what's considered flanking?
Anything where a part of it is opposite.
Any part.
Yeah. So for listeners, it's not a circle. It's not an even shape. Yeah. So if any part of it, you are opposite of one of your allies, then you are flanking. Now, Nesbitt is not flanking it at all, but he will be with Gaylene because she has reach.
Right.
Kelton is not adjacent to it. He is decidedly not.
All right, Esmond takes another pot shot.
With Burning Lance?
With Burning Lance.
All right, let's see it.
With a +3.
God.
Miss.
All right.
We haven't had a lot of damage done so far.
Yeah.
Obed is going to move up 4 squares to be adjacent to Kelton. So Kelton is directly between myself and Gaylene. I'm going to go ahead and do my renewing assault against the target. That's 11.
Miss.
Damn it.
It is its turn. It's going to take Shadow of Death damage.
Yeah.
And Venom Strike damage.
No,
it's only Venom Strike.
Yeah, we figured that. I'm sorry.
Deuce.
You guys are so close to something. Okay.
Getting fucked?
Yeah, a third port opens, and it is going to target a new person. If I get a double, I'm going to reroll it. It targets Gaylene, Nesbitt, and Esmond with its heat ray.
Aw, man.
And I get to roll.
Is this fire damage? Is this considered fire damage?
Well, maybe if it hits you, you'll find out.
All right.
I got 3 giant dice here.
Aw, man.
Fuck.
Let's try to break the fucking table, homie.
I know, they're huge. I'll do green Gaylene, because that rhymes. It'll be your hero name. White Nesbitt, black Esmond. Okay, so Gaylene gets hit, and then it is 13.
On Esmond.
On both of you guys.
Yay.
Nope.
That's a miss.
Okay. So Gaylene takes 9 damage.
Are there any like flowers or anything on the top of this thing? Is it or just like fungus?
No, cute. Yeah, there's no flowers, but it is a dark green fungus. Kind of like this dye I got.
Uh-huh.
Like a moss?
Or a lichen?
Lichen? I'm liking
lichen.
That.
Y'all.
Kelton is going to step one forward.
Disengaging as he does so
to move up into the face. Well, not the face so much as the body. Warning strike on the beast and spend 2 momentum.
Oh, okay.
Ooh.
That would be 19.
Hit.
Your multicolored dice makes me feel really uncomfortable.
Why?
It's cute. It's like homey.
It's like watching somebody open their lunch that someone made for them and their sandwich is like all wrong.
Dice.
Like
a sponge.
It's just bread and dice. It's like, exactly like watching that.
It is like watching rye, bread, peanut butter, and turkey. Like, that's what that sandwich looks like.
Dude, yeah. You know what? I would totally eat that fucking sandwich.
It sounds really good, actually.
Y'all fuck it up.
5 damage.
All right. It lets go of the...
Shrieky Pete?
Of Shrieky Pete.
Is that what you named it?
And it shrieks one last time, and you see it slip out of its hand like a snake into a hole. Just like
ew.
It's gone into the hole.
Told you we picked the wrong fight.
And the other arm comes around.
You're right. I think we could have taken Shrieky Pete.
You have its full attention.
Good.
Oh,
excellent. Yeah.
I thought that thing maybe would have
so
helped.
So is letting go technically its move?
No, it's a free action to let go of anything. It's going to attack Kelton and Nesbitt with its slam.
Do I get an opportunity attack because it's attacking an ally?
Is that based on what rolls? Because Nesbitt's really far away.
Nesbitt is 2 spaces away.
Yeah.
This is an attack that includes you, so I don't think it counts. Yeah.
It is swinging at the both of you, so it includes you.
It was swinging one arm at the both of us, or two?
No, 2 arms. One at each of you.
Do I get an opportunity attack?
You don't have the upper hand yet. Green is Kelton, white is Nesbitt. Hits Kelton.
Yay.
Can I use my scene attack not so fast, which is an immediate?
Yes.
All right.
What does that do?
It would see his attack and hit him with my own attack.
Like a counter?
Yes. It would stop his attack.
If it lands.
Does it cancel it? Like,
yes.
Undoes it?
Yep.
Dope.
That's really cute.
20. D20.
That's a natty 20. Shit.
We have a crit in the house. Folks.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies.
Rye bread on 20.
The triggering attack is canceled, and the enemy is immobilized until the end of my next turn.
Oh, okay. Good.
Dope.
The tank can't move.
Holy shit.
Roll that damage, bro.
No, the tank moves. All right,
you don't have to roll damage. It's max damage.
Yes, which would be 12.
Holy shit.
That,
oh, wow. Do you have no strength?
Was amazing.
2 strength. 10 D10 for my axe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. 2 strength, 1-handed axe.
I forgot you had an axe. Mm-hmm.
And his axe.
Holy shit. And... So it misses a couple turns. It's immobilized until the end of his next turn, so...
Well, it can't move.
Oh.
It can still attack.
It can't use a move action.
That's why I was like, oh, well, it hasn't moved yet.
It probably doesn't plan on it.
He attacked the monster, but not the moss. So I would think that could still move, couldn't it?
Well, it can't move outside of the monster, I think.
It can thwap at you, but it taking a move action to travel?
Yeah.
It can't do that.
No. Well, yeah. Right.
Now, which is important because it just let go of the thing that it was trying not to move away from.
Correct. So you basically said, no, 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 you're still there.
But I saw its arm start
you also stopped that attack, which is great.
Yeah. You didn't take any damage.
That was A+, Max. Good job.
Yeah.
That was
A+. Good use of not so fast.
And then nobody took damage.
Yeah.
Shit. This is a bunch of whiffs on everybody's part almost, except for Kelton just now with that 20.
So Galen just saw... what Kelton did, and she's going to do Overwhelming Strike. So she has her pike ready, and she's going to do like a, I don't know, what do you call it? Like
an uppercut?
Shoryuken?
Thrust?
Yeah, like a thrust. Like a scoop? Yeah, like a scoop. Like you're scooping hay, and she's going to stab him.
All right.
Plus 5, so 15.
15 hits.
Yay.
Jesus. God, that plus
so
5
ridiculous.
Decks.
God damn.
Champion's good.
Galen is the beefiest character at this fucking table.
Oh, court, like Core Citadel, too, which
D6.
Is just dope.
5 and 3 is 8. Plus 2 is 10.
All right, 10 damage. So it did the slam, failed. Galen acted and did damage. Now the tendrils start thrashing around as they do, and they are indiscriminate. They don't understand anything, and they are going to attack Galen.
Aww.
Rolling 2s all day on this D6 because there's 6 of you. Yeah. And that is 13 to dodge.
My dodge is 13.
It hits. Can I get 2 of those black ones?
Actually, she's in phalanx with me, which gives her plus 1 to dodge.
Yo!
Boom!
Yeah, give me those back.
I think Max gets some momentum for that.
I agree.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks, Max. I knew being
the combination
near you was
of
something.
That with the not so fast, I absolutely think you get a momentum.
Yeah, that was this is a round well played so far by Kelton Mandergrove, the Doctor Professor Esquire the 4th.
The feeling I had about wishing that we had done this without you is gone now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's good.
Oh, I never wanted to do it without you.
Appreciate it, Liam.
Because I want to see you die.
I do.
Liam.
Well, if he dies, you know the
be
rest
kind.
Of you are fucked.
Oh, yeah, no, no. I'm prepared
also,
for that.
I just want...
I'm prepared for that
like,
eventuality.
I'm just going to throw this out there as like a meta thing that the mole had like 145 HP or something.
Yeah.
We've done like 8 damage.
I was about to say, yeah, we're like taking little chips out of this guy.
Yeah,
we're,
you haven't, really landed something great yet.
Yeah, Gaylen was dropping 40 plus per round.
Like, yeah, you were dropping bombs last encounter. So it hasn't happened yet. It is done acting for this round. So this is 2 rounds down.
All right,
no, so this is 3 rounds
down. 3 rounds down.
We're 3 rounds down, and it has lost. I could tell you because you would know. Well, with its armor, it has lost 35 HP at the end of its third round.
Gaylen has done more in a single hit.
Wait. That's the actual damage lost.
Actual damage
That's higher
lost.
Than I thought it was, actually. I thought it was lower than that.
So. It's been 18 seconds, though, so.
Yeah. You guys are having like a frustrated slog with this guy so far.
Well,
Well, hopefully I'm going to take some chunk damage this time. Nesbitt is going to disengage into range.
Okay.
And that'll put him flanking, giving him the upper hand. So now Nesbitt's where he likes to be. Didn't like being close, but outside of stab range. Now he's in stab range. He's going to stab.
Okay.
We're going helmet splitter. We're open and heavy, going for right-handed dagger. He's got the that new wind dagger.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's going to throw 2 momentum on the right hand and 1 on the left.
All right.
Yeah.
You're opening yourself up for some risk here.
Why?
Because if you miss with momentum, there are unforeseen consequences.
You might get swallowed.
Is that what happened?
It's
a
risk.
That why that happened to you?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, that wasn't an ability Josh planned for that thing. I just failed.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
All right. Well, the left is a 17, and the right is 11.
The right misses.
Oh.
Take care of the damage the left does first.
Okay.
Which is sneak attack.
Which one had the wind dagger?
Right.
Okay.
That'll be 2d4. Plus the 2d6 for sneak attack, plus 2 for strength.
Yeah.
Oh, your wind one missed?
Yep.
The one that you put 2 on?
Yep.
Yep.
10.
10.
This is the first attack with that wind dagger, right?
Yep. Haven't quite gotten used to it.
Yeah.
Feels a little weird.
Your wind dagger gets lodged between the plates, and it will take a strength check to yank it out. And I'm rolling a d6. I'm going to say it's 10. The difficulty of your strength check is 10.
It's 10 plus.
Plus whatever I roll on this d6. So 2. So 12 to yank it out.
All right.
And it doesn't seem to move very fast, so I'm not going to make you roll to grab the hilt of your dagger.
Okay.
But if you want to yank it out, you have to beat 12.
All right.
As an attack action.
As an attack action.
Yeah.
Shit. Okay. God damn it. I just got that thing. Whoever gets this guy right around where that happened, fucking stick him. And I'm using my other scene attack, Gelt scene, reveal weakness. The next person to hit him does an extra d10.
Oh, sweet. And that's a swift action?
Swift, yes.
Holy shit. Nice.
Nice.
Does Nesbitt still have his other dagger with him?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, this is not actually that big of a loss.
Yeah, no. That my plan was I'm just going to... get my other shitty dagger and
I like it shitty
going.
Now that you have a better
yeah,
one.
Comparatively.
Whereas
yeah.
you straight one shot at people with the other
one. It's terrible. It's been terrible for you since.
Oh, so now that you did that, you start to notice that along the band of blue light around the outside of the wall.
Oh man, I forgot about that shit.
Symbols start to appear on the walls, and there are various triangles that are directing away from the entrance on either side of it towards the opposite end of the room. Not quite where you guys are fighting this overgrown colossus, but nearby. They are pointing, and I'm going to mark on the map, they're pointing towards a direction, like traveling and renewing and traveling and renewing, pointing towards that direction.
All right, Esmond's going to sit right where he is. He's fine where he is. He doesn't want to get anywhere close to that thing.
Probably a good move for Esmond.
But he's using this flaming pillar, which is 2d8 plus strength plus intelligence.
Okay.
Ooh. Whoa.
All right.
You should hit that spot that he was talking about.
18.
Hit. Yes.
How exciting.
So 2d8 plus a d10?
Plus what, composure?
No, plus my, composure and strength because I'm fire.
And are you including...
Jesus.
Yeah. Whoa, that was a roll.
22 damage.
Holy
shit.
Yeah.
Does that include Keith's thingy?
Oh, it is. Mostly Keith's thingy. That is half my damage.
Wow, that's amazing.
So now another thing happens.
Okay.
The fungus catches fire and burns away. Some of the tendrils fall off and it starts to blacken and it's no longer thrashing around. like it was before. Well, glowing blue stripes appear on the floor. They don't seem to be made of anything. They just are blue light.
I don't like any of this.
Yeah.
Oh no.
I don't know a lot of things about anything, but I don't like this.
Yeah, got concerns. I don't even know what those concerns are, but I'm definitely concerned.
It'll be fine.
Don't want to alarm you, but Guff, don't use triangles. Never use them. This is not Guff.
There's too much symmetry.
Esmond takes out a notepad and writes down really quickly. Guff, don't use
There's
triangles.
There's like one particular triangle that is symmetrical. The rest of them suck.
There are several triangles that are symmetrical.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast. Alongside my good friend, John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Yeah.
Guff, don't use triangles.
Gaylene, you've taken a little bit of damage, right?
Yeah, I've taken a hefty chunk.
No, you've taken 5.
Yeah, that's hefty for Gaylene.
How much health
is not hefty for Gaylene.
Yeah, no.
How much that health brings does her... Gaylene have? She started his core Citadel.
Currently?
Yeah.
Norm.
Yeah.
29.
So,
yeah, fuck off. All
right, so...
Liam, what's your max health? What's Esmond's max health?
24.
My max health is 24. My max health is 29.
Well, your max is over here.
What's my max health?
30.
You're fine. All right.
Yeah.
You be sweet. Gaylene gave you a snack earlier. Now she's down to an odd number of snacks. It's giving her all sorts of bad luck.
She could just eat one.
She's not hungry.
I don't want to stand
she's
up.
Always
that
hungry.
Is bullshit. You are lying.
This is a crisis.
It's only been 20 seconds.
I don't want to stand on the line.
I don't know. It could be a good thing.
Yeah, what if the ground splits and you got to hold it together with your thighs?
All right, I'm into that. That sounds great.
Stop giving the DM ideas.
You get, like, really muscly in your thighs.
Just your thighs.
Obi is going to disengage one to be closer to Kelton, and he is going to use Remembered Past, which is a swift action, lets him re-roll a ability if it fails, before using his scene Rippling Lunge. 4.
Are you going to tell us your memory?
12.
Hit.
Yeah!
Yay!
Alright, so I'm glad I...
Only just.
And because I used Remembered Past, the smell of the burning moss reminds me something of the doom. That's it. Something of the burning moss reminds me something of the doom.
It just makes you so mad!
It makes me so mad that I try twice for the Rippling Lunge, and now I do 1 whipping damage plus 1 die 6 plus my strength plus sneak attack damage. My weapon.
Why do you do an extra d6?
It says 1 weapon damage plus 1 die 6 plus strength.
This is not correct. It's supposed to be 2 weapon damage and sneak attack.
Okay.
So
well,
yeah.
Fine.
So the card you have is so the card that he has
so
is
he made
updated.
It better.
Yeah.
Yeah. It, instead of it being because this is overwhelming strike damage.
Basically, got it. Okay.
So it's supposed to be 2 weapon damage plus strength.
And if I have upper hand, I get sneak attack.
Correct.
Okay. So I'll do this. Just 10.
Shit.
12.
Holy 12. Shit! 22. 22
plus 6 is 28 plus my strength is 1. 29 damage.
Double strength because it's two-handed.
30 damage.
Damage.
Holy. Wow. The highest of fives, my good sir.
That is some beef.
Thank God I used remembered past before I used that. Jesus Christ.
That was cool. I was hoping you'd be like, you remember something, and it's the guff inventing triangles.
And then immediately deciding, we're never going to use these.
We hate
I'm
these.
I
discovered that 3 points all exist on the same plane. Fuck that.
I'm already holding the William Shakespeare thing in my head. I can't, like,
William
Shakespeare.
Trapezoids are nothing at all.
You now get a +1 to your next attack with that weapon.
Oh, I do. And the rippling lunge is the sweet, cool effect of the blue light across my scaly silver scales.
Could you be any sexier?
I hope so. Keep going.
I couldn't.
Let's hear more.
I couldn't if I tried.
Just kidding. I never want to hear about it again.
Man, I really can't wait till we start getting slash fic of our characters. I'm really going to be into
it. God, I want it so bad.
We're going to have to write it. So,
I don't think that is necessarily true.
Top of the round. It takes Shadow of Death damage because it hasn't moved and cannot move because it's immobilized.
Yeah.
Five damage. All right. It's going to do its heat ray attack. It has 3 of them, and I'm rolling 3d6 to decide who it hits. That's cracked die. It attacks Galene, Nesbitt, and Esmond again.
Man!
And I'm gonna roll these 3 giant d20s. Do you want the big ones or the small ones?
Big ones.
How is that even a question, Josh?
I just want to make
They're so good.
Look, some ladies, they just prefer different shit. I mean, I'm not...
Green, white, black, go.
Green, Galene. White, Nesbitt. Black, Esmond.
Goth.
Man.
So, all right.
I just got fucked up, didn't I?
But no, I'm
Galene,
still...
Galene, 15. Nesbitt, 14.
Man.
Fuck. You are in phalanx, but everybody's in...
No, not Nesbitt.
Oh, I'm on the other side.
Okay. Does 14 hit?
14 matches, yes.
And we have a crit on Esmond Trod.
Beefy.
Please be fire damage.
So it hits all 3 of you, but they're 3 separate attacks. It's not an AoE. They're individually targeting each of you. That's why we had to roll 3 dice. Okay, so the one against Galene, 4 damage.
No, it doesn't do any damage.
Oh, never mind. It doesn't do anything.
You have 4 armor.
Galene feels very blessed.
Yeah, I think you're unaware of how tanky you are. Yeah.
Armor is a blessing.
Completely tanky.
Too blessed.
Because she has
stressed.
Hollow bones.
This is the exact opposite of why.
Okay. Birds are immune to fire. Hollow bones.
We all know this. Are you guys aware about all the birds that get laser beamed by solar farms?
Oh, yeah.
With the solar mirror arrays? Yeah. They try to fly through it, and they just get roasted, and there's dead roast turkey at the bottom of those towers. Nesbitt. 7 damage.
All right.
Esmond. 9 fire damage.
All right. Still fine.
Hey.
Nice.
Esmond, can you explain to me why that is still fine?
He's a fire lizard.
He negates 5 of any fire damage he takes.
How exciting.
Esmond, I believe in you. Take the shot.
You could hit it for harder than I can, I think.
But you keep getting a plus every time you hit.
True. For a better chance.
And one of these days it'll work.
Hey, you just did
he's flanking now.
Bunch of damage.
15.
Hit.
Yes.
12 damage.
Nice.
See, that would have been a crit for me. So
that was a crit. I did max damage.
Good. I believed in you.
That's really cute.
Now the ground between the stripes.
Okay, I want this over now.
Starts to rise, reshaping itself.
Do we have, stadium seating now?
Are the red parts dips or...
Oh, so now I'm
how
tall.
How high is the rise?
They begin to rise, and I've drawn it on the map, and they shape themselves into benches.
Cute.
All right, so we're in the amphitheater.
Yeah, it's like a Colosseum.
Pointing up or away from me.
Like the slow...
Am I in the highest one or the lowest one?
It's not stadium seating.
Oh, okay.
It's not... Right. They're all equal. Think
like
church,
a church?
Church pews.
Like pews. Okay.
Yeah.
We might be in a Kenny Rogers roasting machine.
Do I have to roll not to fall down?
No, it rises very slowly.
All right.
Am I out of line of sight now?
No, you can see over them. They're like church pews, if you can imagine
so
that. But they're solid. They're made of the material that the ground is made of.
Got it.
There's no, you can't go under them. They're a
single material
piece.
The ground is made of. You mean floor?
Yes.
Money.
It is now the creature's turn.
Aww.
And
The overgrown colossus, who's no longer overgrown because most of his shit melted off.
Yeah, scratch that overgrown part off.
It moves, now that it's no longer immobilized, one space forward and does not invoke an attack of opportunity and ignores the bleachers because its legs just kind of gently, slowly roll over them.
Whoa.
Like a tank?
Like a spider, but its legs can come up high and set down.
Character question, how does it ignore attacks of opportunity?
Because it just disengaged, it only moved one space.
Well, no, it is not disengaging. It moves slowly enough and deliberately enough that its movement is not a distraction to it. It is not dropping any of its attention to move.
Cool.
Its arms and its legs seem to move independently of one another.
Like ours?
Like a spider.
No, not like yours. Your arms and legs do not move independently of your
when you thoughts. Walk, you can't your
divert.
Arms.
You can't divert your attention in the same way that this hand. And it makes two attacks. We'll say one against Kelton and one against Nesbitt.
Oh, thank God.
Who's doing?
You should pray that it would try to attack you.
Yeah, it would be way better if it attacked you.
You have armor.
You have
That's
twice as much armor.
Since when do y'all think Gaylene gives a fuck?
Then why would you be armored?
Gaylene shouldn't be hoping that she gets hit, but you, as a player, should be hoping that Gaylene gets hit.
As a player, I also don't care, because I want to see what happens.
All right, so this is what happens.
We know what happens. I get fucking hit.
Nesbitt gets hit. Rolled a natty 17. I don't got to add shit.
Oh.
11.
Fuck me.
Is this, like, where the mole was, or it's just trying to run away, or is it, like, really being an asshole?
It's really hard to tell intention other than it is attacking you and burning you. Okay. And now has just begun to move over these benches.
Like away from us?
Into you.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure if it was away trying to be like the mole and just like get away.
I think it just finally let go of the thing it was fighting, and this is the first time it's had a chance to move towards us since Kelton like fucking pinned it there.
Gaylene will be doing Overwhelming Strike.
Okay.
She rolls an 18 plus 5.
Let her do it.
What the? I wasn't even looking at you, and I looked up, and your brain was like, please. Your face was like...
She's like trying to draw numbers out of other people's minds.
What is 8 plus 5?
She's turning so red.
23?
Yes, it is 23.
Thank Christ, I guessed.
God damn it.
She had a 1 in 10 chance.
Stay in school, kids.
I'm a history major, not no math major.
Here's what I tell my students.
That's not math major. That's third grade.
Take your number, then you take what you want to add, and you just go.
Don't do it. Don't. Nobody does that. How many fingers can a person have? Too many, right?
How am I supposed to count this high?
Does that number hit?
It hits.
Yes.
Thank Christ it hits.
All right, rolled 11. Damage.
All right, 11 damage.
That was whelming.
So Nesbitt got hacked up. That he's freaked out by that. Give me back the hurtin'. I don't want it. He's doing lifesteal.
Okay.
So,
If you do not disengage, you will incur an attack of opportunity.
Now, does that reach include the space directly next to him?
Yeah, if I move in, then he'll then.
Because this
still
counts
have...
as a magic ranged attack.
No, but I'm saying it for any the way where other ranged attacks work is it's got that space, but they can't manipulate things directly next to them.
No,
and I know the rules of monsters don't always work.
Yeah, but. No, for this kind of, so he's not using a weapon.
It's just mandibles.
He can it's arms, and these arms can reach inside of their range.
Okay.
Ah, shit. No, I'm not even sure if I want to do that, because, I mean, like, if I...
Disengage even further from melee range.
Yeah, and then I wouldn't be able to disengage back in to attack on the next turn, right. So, damn it. Scratch that is going to disengage in, and go ahead and...
Now he has the upper hand, because he's flanking.
Right. Throw that double strike. Is the plus one going to be applied to both, or just the one that missed?
Good question. Here are two arguments. I think both are valid, so we should come to a quick decision. One argument is that double strike is one attack, and if any part of that attack hits, it's a hit. The other argument is that the chance to miss on any given attack applies, so maybe you'd have to pick the individual attack that you'd apply the plus one to.
I think that since he picks the individual hands to apply momentum to, that speaks enough for that
I don't think it does, because if we had any other ability that granted you a plus one, we would let it apply to both.
That's true.
And momentum works in a different function because you want the maximum amount. Like, when you start using that, that's a penalty for taking two attacks. I think it should apply for both because he psyched himself up for this attack.
This might not even end up being relevant because another thing I just thought of, in order to do double strike, I have to unsheathe my third dagger. Instead, I'm just going to plunging strike.
No one is adjacent to you.
Damn it!
If you do a regular attack, you still have the upper hand.
Yeah, I can still do a... Oh, so...
Plunging strike gives you the upper hand if you don't have it, if an ally is adjacent to you.
Right.
But you have the upper hand.
I have the upper hand. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm just going to do a basic one-handed attack.
All right.
15.
Hit.
All right.
You haven't critted in a while.
Nah, it's been a minute. I used to do it all the time, man.
I know. I feel like you did it all the time.
What happened to us?
13 damage.
Nice. Yeah, that hurt. It's you can tell you're really starting to fuck this thing up.
Nice.
It is getting shaky and starting to literally shake.
Hey, what if it evolves?
And Josh is just sitting there like, what if?
What if it evolves?
Don't give the DM ideas. All right, Esmond, now on the pew, is going to stare this bad boy.
You're going to double pew?
I wish I could double pew. I can't. I'm only going to pew once with Burning Lance. 15, 8 plus 7.
Hit.
And 8 damage.
8 damage. Nice.
Well, since I can't change aspects and attack at the same time, I'm going to go ahead and cast Burning Ray from Obed through the Colossus to Nesbitt.
Okay.
This would also clip Kelton if you have any damage.
Okay. No, he's also like what, gaining 8 a turn?
No,
I missed
that attack. Missed.
I missed. Oh.
Yeah, that was a 2.
Dope.
That's a miss.
And that's
but the heal still works,
miss.
Though.
The heal still works. You're right.
Yes.
5.
Nice.
5 healing to Kelton and Nesbitt.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fuck, Burning Ray is good.
Yeah, it's really good.
It has to be.
It really does.
No,
have to
be. I don't even. I've. At first, I thought it was overpowered, but based on how everything's gone, it is exactly in line with what I need to be able to do.
Heat ray, 3 targets.
Come spice rack.
Hip hop. I don't even give a shit.
All right.
Oh, thank God.
What? Oh, thank God. What is Gay lead down to?
29.
Fuck off. Yeah.
29, and she has 4 armor.
All right. So Kelton, Nesbitt, and Obed are subject to the heat ray. Green is Kelton, white is Nesbitt, black is Obed. Kelton gets hit.
Yay.
8 damage. Oh, and it also takes Shadow of Death damage.
Oh, yes. 3.
Okay. It's funny because this thing does not have significantly more health than the mole. The mole lasted 2 rounds, but it's just the rolls are going differently this time around.
Gaylene doesn't get to hit it 5 times around.
It's true.
Kelton is going to stay in place where he is, and he's going to have Esmond take the shot.
All right.
All right.
12 plus 8. 20.
Hit. Now,
do I do any extra damage?
Just the one act to hit.
11 damage.
11 damage.
Hell yeah.
Sorry. It's getting later, so the math in my head is...
Math is hard, huh?
Well, I'm about 3 stages of math right now.
Yeah, there's all sorts of things counting down.
Yeah.
I don't know what the pews are about. There's a laser light show. I don't know what lasers are.
Maybe we're in a planetarium. Isn't it all dome-shaped?
Do the pews result in difficult terrain?
So, yes. What it means is that it takes 2 squares to enter the space of a pew and to leave it.
Ooh, shit.
Got it. Okay.
So, now, a large glowing circle appears in front of the southern wall that the arrows were pointing to, that the pews are facing.
How exciting.
Oh, guys, I kind of forgot about that about 16 seconds ago.
I hope it's an episode of Star Trek.
Yeah. Movie or Death Ray?
Really mean Death Ray since it has seating directly in front of it.
I know.
So now it moves again and doesn't provoke, and it's moved out of the Shadow of Death, and it takes 2 attacks. So one against Obed, and one attacks Nesbitt. Green is Nesbitt, white is Obed.
Yes.
Yay!
A 2 and a 3. Miss both.
Even though Galena is behind Kelton, she's still like in hitting range?
Yeah, yes.
With her pike?
You still have the upper hand.
I have the upper hand.
Which means that you actually get an attack of opportunity because it didn't attack
you. How does she
you.
Have the upper hand?
Because she's flanking with weapon. Nesbitt. who's right here.
Oh, just still. Yeah, okay.
20.
Boom!
A natty 20. Galen does 14 damage.
All right.
Why doesn't Kelton get an attack of opportunity?
Did it include him?
No.
No, it did not.
So Kelton also gets an opportunity attack.
18.
Boosh.
18 hits.
8 damage.
All right. It's about to crumple, but it's still moving.
Galen suddenly feels very vigorous, and she sees her opportunity to do some helmet splitting.
You've located the creature's helmet?
Yeah.
Dome sighted, splitting active.
You just hear from behind you, fuck him up, Galen!
You're going to jinx it. I'm going to roll like a 1. Just kidding, it's a 20.
Figure out that.
Jesus Christ.
Holy. That's
max damage on helmet splitter.
That's 3 weapon damage, right?
Christ.
All right. Is that 3 weapon damage?
Yes.
3 weapon damage.
Plus strength.
Plus strength.
12.
Times 3.
36.
Plus
2. 38.
That is officially the most damage anybody's done in a single hit.
Yep.
I just want to
say. High beef.
You're welcome.
It fucking explodes.
Yes!
It had 7 health.
Y'all welcome. Y'all give Galen such shit for not moving fast enough and using her leap. But then she does this damn thing, explodes.
Hey.
Y'all should be kissing ass.
We are not complaining about what you do when you do it.
I'm tired from killing the mole for you.
It's round 6.
We don't play often enough because you notice that Galen says, watch it be a 1. A 1 is a crit as well.
Yeah.
So this thing, the legs shake, and then the body of it collapses to the floor, and it hisses and falls down.
Does
immobile.
It deflate?
It does not deflate.
Oh, that'd be cool.
It's not a giant balloon.
Probably hisses, though.
Yeah, and it goes...
Like a whoopee cushion.
Yeah. That's but by cute. The way, my son calls a whoopee cushion a fart bag.
That's really good.
He broke 2 of them in 12 hours.
He's your son.
Yep.
Dude, no, I know how that is. Because, like, you're only supposed to inflate it a little bit, but when you get one, you get excited and you, like, fill it all the way up so that it's, like, and then just
you inflate
jump
it yourself?
On that fucker.
Yeah, there's no amount of effective inflation that could stand up to a kid jumping and landing ass first on it. After its defeat, the glowing circle on the wall coalesces into a 3-dimensional image of various Tolden standing in a line, walking hunched and bound one by one into an enormous citadel. And above their heads, each is a symbol. Some are coins, some look like skulls, and others are completely unrecognizable. You don't know what they mean.
Are there any triangles?
Some involve triangles.
Mm. So there's definitely no guff.
Told you, no guff.
They're all recognizably Tolden, and they all look different.
But they're bound in chains.
Yeah.
By the guff,
they're
I
not
presume.
In. You don't see physical chains, but they are bound.
Okay.
And they're shuffling one behind the other. The image transitions to a single Tolden standing beneath a cylinder that is over his head. And above his head, between him and the cylinder, is a symbol of conjoined circles. A light shines down on him from the cylinder, and he collapses. The image pans to the right to see a hand removing one of the star-shaped amulets from a device. The amulet grows and enlarges, like you would think of it as zooming in, but your characters don't know that term, until it is the only item in focus. And it keeps growing until the gem in the middle of it is the only thing in focus. Then the amulet vanishes, and that same Tolden is now sitting at a desk, and a large figure stands in front of him with a hand extended, palm upwards, and above the palm float symbols that this Tolden is copying to paper on the desk. And now that same Tolden is standing, holding a sword, while a giant, fire-breathing lizard with wings rears back to strike. Above the lizard's head are more symbols in a row, and the Tolden is grinning. A triangle, so not guff, stylized, is now depicted rising from a flat plane, trailing behind it a dotted line. And as it ascends, it passes complicated objects suspended in the air until a large object that looks like a ringless moon comes into and then fades from view. And the triangle grows smaller as the perspective no longer follows it, and it disappears among what could only be stars. Now it shifts to an image of a baby with calm eyes and a gentle smile as it is lifted from a transparent crib by metal hands and brought to a balcony by a humanoid construct of some kind that lifts it above the railing to see an alien landscape with a giant planet in the background. You would think of it as a gas giant, as players. The symbol of the conjoined circles appears above the baby's head. Then that symbol cracks, crumbles, and fades away. The baby breathes in deep and then nods knowingly. The image fades, then resolves into the image of the star amulet. And then along the perimeter of the walls of the room you're standing in, triangles move out from the center of the image and depict the entrance. And all of the barricades lift.
Whoa.
And now the benches slowly start to sink into the floor again.
I would like to roll to see if I still believe these are Guff ruins.
Yeah. I mean, I don't see why not. I don't know what... Here's the problem. I don't know what you're rolling against.
The previous bluff?
No, I think Esmond would just be confused.
Okay.
Right? And he could raise that question, then that would give a chance to confirm a bluff. I also want to point out, I don't know, how does Kelton feel about that?
He's like, man, did anyone else see a bunch of triangles?
Yeah, I saw a whole bunch of triangles.
Because that's offensive to me that they would come in here and do that with triangles after all the Guff had left, died, or whatever.
You don't feel like this was, like, the reason why this particular space was built?
Yeah, just like, Guff, here's some triangles. Fuck you. It's vandalism is what it is.
How could someone have done that if they didn't make... This is... I know magic, and that wasn't magic, but it was magic. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, they used Guff magic.
But that wasn't magic.
The amulet, you saw them.
Yeah.
They used the amulet.
Yeah.
They used it wrong, and then they killed that baby. It's just weird to me why they would come in here
killed the baby?
Where's the baby?
Where's the anything? It was an image.
As a scholar, can I roll an intellect check to see if... any of that was familiar.
Okay.
So I don't re-roll this because it's not a talent, but I get the +5 for being a scholar.
Because it's your profession, I can just tell you outright.
Okay.
Like, this is not a skill check in the sense is that you haven't studied anything that seems similar to this before.
Okay.
This seems like entirely new.
I think everyone's just like, holy shit, they broke in here. They did that. That's why we don't trust triangles.
Yeah, I guess that's... That kind of aligns with my confusion, maybe?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right, well.
No.
I think we need a bluff and opposed for Esmond to be opposing this.
Because I've had several reasons to now question his intelligence over the last few adventures.
I will give Esmond, he's believed it every time, I'm only giving you a +2.
Can I oppose since I'm the one that I did the intellect check that I was arguing with him?
Roll, bitch.
Can I use momentum on this?
Has he ever bluffed your character?
Just the one time when we landed and he said that the sound was Guff.
So, Kelton is bluffing the group now, but he's only being opposed by Esmond and Obed.
He wants to know if he uses momentum. If he's using momentum, he rolls first.
He does get to use momentum.
I'm not going to. Doesn't mean that much.
I really want it.
14.
16.
Nope. One.
Isn't a one a crit?
No.
Only
piercing weapons and wands on attacks.
Huh.
But not Kelton's piercing wit.
All right, so both of you know that he was lying about this specific instance.
Yeah.
All right.
Maybe the Guff gave the told in this room. Because this room
I'm even suspect of that. But this is definitely... It involves the amulets. There's a lot of things that just no longer make sense.
Okay. Hey, doesn't...
We all know that the amulets are Guff. Whatever anyone else does, like, look what happened with Forsha when she got a Guff amulet. Bitch went crazy. We all know that, right?
Wait a second. There was a symbol over a Tolden. And then the same symbol over a baby, right?
I don't know what they do with their crazy shit. Guff made the amulets, then they left them somewhere.
What if it carries a soul?
Oh, like a reincarnation.
The amulet got a person in it or something is what you're saying?
Sorta. And then she let it loose.
What's a soul?
It's a thing you don't have and don't need to worry
about. Yeah, Guff,
about.
Don't have that.
Are we carrying around some of those?
Yeah, ones that are empty, though, I think.
We better stay away from babies.
Yeah, that's kind of my mentality in general, yeah.
I think it's good advice for Kelton.
Yeah. I mean, they taste good, but I'm an archaeologist. you know? I like dig up things and I look at things and I'm like, oh, there's some shards of pottery. That must mean that people did this. I'm not like an expert on like everything. Everything.
No, you're not an expert on giant citadels made of money that seem to be able to do things beyond my possible imagination.
Okay, you build a tower and then you leave and then someone else comes into the tower and does bad stuff in there. You're not responsible for what happens in the tower just because you built it. We built the tower, and then some crazy Tolden came in and killed a baby. I don't know.
I really don't think he's been paying attention to the rest of this conversation, and that's fine.
I blame triangles.
What the shit even was that? Weird ass Tolden shit happening.
Yeah, was that here?
I don't know. It looked like it was made of fucking diorite.
And I know it wasn't magic.
Can we eat it?
Galen?
Well, maybe. Yeah. Like, you ever seen a crab?
Oh, yeah, you gotta crack the shell.
Could be good stuff in there.
Go right ahead, dude.
I need you to cook it.
If you find meat in that thing, I'll cook it for you.
Can I grab the wind dagger?
I was actually just about to say, hey, while we're discussing
not
that, I think I left
something. Tell anyone?
Over.
You're gonna have to roll a stealth check.
Take that away from somebody in our party who will benefit you for having?
Galen doesn't give
you
a fuck.
Galen
is a selfish person.
Yeah.
I'm really sad that she beat me to speaking because I was literally just waiting for everybody so I could open my mouth to say.
Well, I mean, you're actively trying to look for it. So if she's going to beat you to it, like you're in a well-lit room. She is on the opposite side of this creature
side of. I'm next to it.
So. I'm going to give her a -5 to even attempt to do it without seeing it. Like, you're going to have to roll a stealth check to act like you're not being conspicuous when you're even going over there.
Sneaky. I'm going to do it.
All right. Haven't done it. This is just roll a
d20. Okay.
Add your dexterity, then -5.
7 + 5 - 5 = 7.
Okay. Nesbitt, give me an awareness check.
Are there any modifiers on that? Oh, I have intuition. That probably wouldn't be.
She's trying not to be conspicuous.
Okay.
Intuition counts here.
Right. Yeah, you follow your gut.
So you add your intelligence.
Me to do it.
Well, I think we're all still arguing.
My talent is low key.
15.
Obi, I would never ask you to do something like this.
You see Galen
just like
waddling.
Sidestepping.
Like whistling as she does it.
Hands behind her back.
But she probably whistles just as well as she winks.
She doesn't have lips.
And she's like, don't look at me.
Oh, yeah. Weasel Man, how's it going over there? Yeah?
Going good. Going good.
I'm here to get some meat because the fireman said he'd cook it for me. Yeah? So I'm just hanging out. Yeah?
Right.
Over here.
Okay.
And, yeah, just, how's it going, yeah?
The fuck are you doing?
To try and look suave, Galen pulls out a snack and eats it.
Roll for a suave with your composure.
What?
Just roll.
3.
Galen is extremely obvious.
No, she's extremely unsuave. Crumbs everywhere.
Oh no, my nature grade bar. In case anyone wants to know, I am now down to 40 snacks.
That's
like keep careful track of that.
Yeah.
Okay, is that hole still open where the leather thing went
into?
Yes. Kelton wants to stick his head into the hole that the leather thing went into.
Okay, it looks like it had been opened from this side, so from the room you're in, by this creature. It had been widened to try to get at what was in there, because this looks like a small hole that is a very small diameter, and it was trying to dig through the wall to get to the creature that was in there.
Ooh, so what does the hole look like, this small hole? Is it just...
So you as a player would know that it looks like a duct, but Kelton's like, oh, it's a weird money hole. Like,
more goddamn Tolden than vandalism.
So the projection stopped entirely?
Yes.
It's not looping or anything.
No, it is now an amulet that is just static.
I want the amulet.
Go grab it. Go try and grab it.
Go get
okay.
it.
Go
it
try and grab
my
it.
My turn. I was asking
about it.
Obi would like to go get the amulet.
Okay. Obi goes over and reaches for it, and his hand just passes through it. It's a very large amulet that is insubstantial.
Obi, try harder, yeah? Use your hands.
You're not doing it right.
Obi, just grab it. Obi, you're cursed. First you get eaten by the mole. First you get eaten by the mole, and now you can't get the thing.
I mean, anyone else is welcome to try.
None of us can get it now.
Maybe I'm too slippery.
Oh,
that looks pretty ghostly, so I don't think you could grab it.
Kelton would like to walk up also to the projection.
Uh-huh.
With an amulet already in his palm.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of hidden from the group, just to show up Obi.
Okay.
So he reaches in, he goes, hey, I got it.
Doctor Professor!
I think that's a deception.
I think it is, too.
Do it. Roll.
he's spending momentum.
16.
All right, what am I rolling?
It's awareness. Which is just your intellect.
4.
Obi! Dr. Professor, he uncursed ya!
Obi looks down at his hands that are silvery and slippery, and he's just confused.
Maybe your hands don't work.
Fish out of water, Obi. Dr. Professor, thank you so much for curing Obi.
You're welcome.
I was real worried.
I don't feel cured.
Don't worry, Obi. You won't get eaten by any more moles.
I can promise you that.
No, they can't promise you
that. I was going to ask for promises.
I guarantee it.
I can promise you his guarantees mean less than nothing.
I'm so confused on the baseline of trust I have here with you guys.
Go ahead and assume that if we see another mole, stay away from his goddamn mouth.
You didn't pay me my first day of work.
Listen, Obit, we're kind of on the honor system.
Shouldn't you be used to working for someone who doesn't really, pay you or honor you or care about you all that much?
Interns are basically slaves.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess you're right.
Well, that's why you work for me now, Obi. I got you away from that man.
I mean, we're not leaving this cave system, alive, like you might say, but...
Meanwhile, Nesbitt is going to go over to that hole that the creature went in,
mm-hmm.
and... Hey, anybody fucking in there?
And it sounds, your voice rings back to you. It's not quite an echo because it curves around, but it sounds bright. The walls are very reflective. And you get the sense that, out of all of you, Nesbitt could fit in there.
Oh, yeah.
Do I see anything,
It curves. It curves away.
Ah, jeez.
John McClane.
Oh, yeah, that's a good call. Esmond, you wanna come out over here, take a look in, see what you see?
Sure. It's a hole.
What do you think? The thing that went in there.
Uh-huh.
Do we go after it? Do you go after it?
Can I even fit in this thing?
It's worth a shot.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, I can't. I'm not making it.
I'll give you a shove.
The only reason that Nesbitt would fit in there is because he is the smallest and he's literally a weasel.
Yeah, I can't fit in that thing.
Dagger in your teeth?
You could.
Here's the thing. I am curious. I am also creeped the fuck out.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I haven't seen anything that I've expected to see at any goddamn point in this day. But there's got to be something we could do about this.
You know, there's an old caravaner's saying, never split the party.
Yeah, but there's also another old caravaner saying, Weasel Man, curiosity killed the cat, and you are a weasel.
That is actually fairly true.
Is it a saying, though?
Yeah.
She's not a caravaner, but we say similar things. There's a lot of folksy wisdom in it.
At this point, I've heard it at least once.
Obed, for being so smart, sometimes you're the dumbest guy.
Yeah, there's a memory lapse problem. It's genetic.
For that combat, everybody gets 4 momentum.
Yay.
For the roleplay aspect afterwards, I will say that Kelton and Esmond each get 1 momentum.
Can't believe you guys beat my deception.
You roll it a whole bunch. You're going to win eventually.
We've been walking a while. I feel like we should maybe, and maybe this is just me, but I'm kind of tired. Should we rest?
No, that sounds real stupid.
I don't know. How many hours has it been?
I would say, let's see, you went down. It took you several hours to get down here.
Yeah.
And then I would say you've been going at this for probably around 7-8 hours.
Okay.
Well, that's less than I thought. But on top of the walking?
And on top of having 2 brutal fights.
Yeah.
Well,
3.
3 fights, 2 brutal ones.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you already had a rest in the mole. Well, we were, we were fighting. You were just kind of hanging out. But if you need a break,
Obi, if you need to take a nap, it's okay.
Nesbitt, I got a terrible idea.
Normally you're the one with the not terrible ideas. What do you...
It might be the best one we got, but it's not great.
I can help.
Do you want to go after this thing?
I'm not so sure.
Well, if you do, we can tie a rope around you. And if you tug, we'll pull you right out.
Tug 10 times for us to pull you out.
I was going to say 3, but fine.
9 times if you're fine, 10 times if you're in danger.
How much time between tugs before I get worried?
It's like a double click.
A what?
Exactly.
Well, other than our goal of trying to get through the other side, this is like the biggest, most substantial area that we've come across. It seems like a kind of a focal point of this.
Are there
thing.
Any other doors to this room?
No, there are not. So this may be going, because you literally can't see the room and see what's changed. Mm. A thing to remember is that when the lights came on, they came on everywhere.
Ooh.
There may be things going on elsewhere, like this pew situation.
Or maybe that other door
like,
that was
I was going to say, like a door, maybe. Or definitely the room with the children that we slaughtered.
I'm uncertain. What does everybody think?
Do you want us to vote if you go into the hole or not?
I'm with whatever decision you make, boss.
Yeah. Oh, no. This is out of character. I'm asking, like, what do we as a party think is...
I'd say go into the hole.
I'm with whatever what you say, boss.
Since this hole doesn't exist based on the way that this compound or whatever it is built...
Yeah, where the fuck is
that? Sorry. Can you explain?
The hole in the wall was made by the Colossus that we just fought.
No.
It was altered.
It's a vent. Right, it's a vent, but it's not a doorway or a pathway.
It does not look like it was made for things to intentionally travel down.
Correct.
Something was in there, and the Colossus tried to break through the wall to get at it.
Right. At least my interpretation of that would be the equivalent of something in a room trying to kill a rat behind a wall. But now that everything's turned on, I feel like now we've got a whole different approach to everything else.
Yes. I'm intrigued by the shrieking, though.
Also, we don't know what you're going to find in this vent. Yeah. And if it's a new open area, how the fuck do we get there?
Yeah, you say that I'm the only one that could fit in there, then that probably means it's a snug fit, and yeah, my ability to defend myself in there is probably limited.
I mean, you could probably bite something in front of you if you had to.
Yeah, no. I would much rather be able to double stab things.
Okay. You would get the sense that it looks precarious. I don't want to dissuade you from making a decision, but you would, if you were to look at it.
And also kind of who Nesbitt is, he probably doesn't like this.
Yeah, imagine if you found a vent that only you could fit through.
Yeah.
That's what you're looking at.
Yeah.
And not even Nesbitt with the intention of, I need to go through this vent to get to this room. Like, we don't
literally
even
just
have a goal.
Let's
like,
see what's in there.
Exactly. Yeah.
The scariest scene in Aliens for me is watching Bishop crawl through that tube. That is like, that's scarier than anything else in that whole movie for me.
Yeah. Yeah, no, Nesbitt's not getting in there. Curiosity, not as strong as not liking the idea of crawling through a little hole and our archaeologist probably not being able to count to as many tugs as he thinks I need to pull on it to get retracted.
It's a simple system. 9 if you're okay, 10 if you need help.
Let's look around a little more now that we no longer only have Esmond's ass to go on as far as visibility.
You love my ass. Stop saying that.
I do.
It's pretty hot.
Good job, everyone. He's holding up the amulet in his hand.
How about a complete loss?
Yeah.
Bless you.
I don't know, man. I just grabbed it. You know what? That might prove that this is guff, that you weren't able to touch it.
Maybe the other people put the triangles around it to protect it from the guff.
Oh, bastards.
It's Daylead would so be on his side. Difficult to be in a party with people who are actively undermining plot progress.
And then isn't
I
it?
Have to follow it. Like, I roll and I go, well, that bullshit sounds good, I guess.
That's the difference between this and a video game.
Let's go take a look around.
We're near the area opposite the entrance.
Yes.
Correct. And so take a look around. Make sure there's nothing else here. But let's move back towards the way we came in. I don't know. I think Obi's onto something. It's been a rough day. Let's go find Bolivo and regain our bearings. Take it easy for a little bit. Maybe have a snack.
Now, well, I guess out of character question, what is the motivation behind you guys wanting to camp or rest?
I don't know. I don't have it right
just
now.
Just that it's been a long time.
Oh, so it's just an in-character, like, oh, we need to kind of just chill. Because normally DMs get frustrated at players because they get all their spells back. You guys are tip-top. Yeah. If you healed up. Like, yeah, that's why I was...
Right, and since we don't have any dailies, there's actually no benefit, but...
He doesn't... You did use your daily, didn't you?
I have not.
Oh.
But to me, it was literally just... If I was playing a character and I fucking walked like all these hours and then
two battles. Just curious. It is a thing
in
RPGs that they were like, oh, should we camp in the thing because we got to get all this and we were down health and we got to prepare our spells again and we got to do this. And that's not the case. So I was just curious about the motivation.
Yes.
All right. Can we just pretend that as characters we did that and then just like move on, I guess?
You can do that.
I'm the asshole in video games who like goes back to base every now and again after a few messages. Sure. Just be like, I missed home.
I mean, I don't know if that's fun and engaging roleplay at the moment, so...
I think it sounds realistic. I was curious. Where do you want to head back? Where are you looking to?
I like the idea of going back to Bolivo.
Yeah.
And the way forward,
If that's where we're going to rest before we then go look back at the door.
That's my feeling.
Yeah, okay. I like that idea.
Judging where you are now, you are at the southernmost point of this place that you've been to. So to go back to Bolivo, you're going to have to leave the room you entered, cross a ravine... Get back up into the tube, travel probably about 1,000 feet, a few hundred maybe, take a right at a four-way junction where a bunch of the way forward had died, and you enter another large dome where they are holding out.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. Let's say you begin.
All right.
All right.
So you leave the room and the lights are on. The ravine doesn't have its own lights, but the light bleeds down into the ravine, and you see large creatures down there. Not as big as the mole, not as big as the creature you just fought, but large insect creatures. They've not yet seen you.
Are they moving? Like, are they alive?
They're alive. They're moving around doing their stuff.
How do we miss these on the way in?
They might have been there the whole time. To be continued. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We really appreciate everybody who listens to this program. This has been so much fun for us so far. If you just listened to this, you should know we're getting closer to closing up Chapter 1 of Echoes of the Star Crypt, and we're going to begin a new campaign with Liam as GM, and then probably Max next. And then we'll hopefully soon begin Chapter 2 of Echoes of the Star Crypt. Bring back all the characters you love and the ones you hate, namely the GM. So if you like this game and you want to play it with your friends, check out our Patreon. At the $5 tier, you get all of the releases that we do, including all the rule books. We're about to release another one. If we haven't already, we probably should have by the time that this airs. And at the $10 tier, you get to create your own NPC, and some of them stick around. I mean, Bolivo was a fan-created NPC, and we've got some coming up when they get out of this dungeon that are real doozies. So check us out on patreon.com/RPGFS, and you can become a patron yourself. Even at the $1 tier, you get some great content.
Also, you can find us on facebook.com/RPGFS.
We're also on Instagram, RPG from Scratch, all one word.
We also post everything on Twitter at @homebrewhombres.
So thank you everybody for tuning in, and until next time, stay safe, stand watch, and get a full rest.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.